good prayer to pray, as Sister Marie has read to us from that psalm. There are a lot of these two-word kind of thoughts that the Bible gives to us that we need to consider. We've heard a few of them. Sister Marie has brought to our attention two now this week. You have those wonderful, wonderful thoughts. Break me, take me, make me, revive me, fill me, use me. You could go all through the Bible, and there are probably some others too, and the Lord wants to do that for us. And tonight, revive me. Revive me again. Fill my heart afresh and anew. You find in the Bible that there were those that needed that revival. There were churches that needed that revival. There were individuals that needed that revival. And I don't think any of us, not our churches, not our lives personally, we're not immune. We need a revival every now and again. And Jesus is here to revive us, to bring back to life something that has died, something that was once living, and now it hasn't been living, and Jesus wants to make it alive again. That could be my heart. It could be some aspect of my Christian walk or my faith. It could be a whole corporate thing in a church. In Revelation, there were two of them that needed revival, needed real revival. They were lukewarm. They were living on a reputation of what they once had been. But Jesus said, or the Holy Spirit said, you're dead. To a church, you're dead. You're dead. You had a name that you live, but you're not really living. You're dead. And sometimes that can be every one of us. But I'm glad it doesn't have to be. It shouldn't be. The Lord doesn't want it ever to be, but he wants to continually revive us. And that revival is Jesus. It's just Jesus coming to us afresh and anew. And we need him all the time. And I'm thankful that we can have him all the time. Don't let something in you die and stay dead. But let him resurrect it. You know, I don't know about you. I get accustomed to when things die, kind of think that's over. It's the end. Plant dies. What do you do with your plant when it dies? You throw it out. What do you do with your dog when it dies? Yeah, unless you're some cultures, you eat it. But other places, you bury it. And, you know, we're used to that. Things die, we get rid of it. It's no good anymore. Your car dies. My car got flooded. All the cars in my neighborhood. We had a flood, and all the salt water came up, and it got higher than the engines. And the next week, they were just pulling cars out of my neighborhood and community. Every single car, every single last one of them, except the guy across the street who wrapped his car in bubble wrap and his car was floating. Yeah, that's a whole story in and of itself. It's great. Two BMWs he wrapped up and they were floating. But everybody else's car died. And when it dies, the insurance company didn't even want to look at my car. Called them up. Was it salt water? Yeah. All right, we'll pick it up. Send in a flatbed truck to just pick up. Don't even care to look at it. It's dead. And when it's dead, it's dead. That's the end of it. No more. Well, that's not true with you or with me. If something in me spiritually dies, it doesn't have to stay dead. Don't bury it. Don't get rid of it. Let the Holy Spirit, let the Word of God, let the Lord resurrect it. You know, when John, what was his name? Not John, Lazarus in John 11. When Lazarus died, who was expecting that Lazarus could be raised again? Nobody. Nobody. Did Mary and Martha know Jesus? Does it say in the Bible somewhere that Jesus loved Mary and his sister Martha? He loved them. He loved them a lot. And they knew Jesus. He had been to Bethany. He had visited them a number of times. But they didn't even believe that Jesus. Oh, yeah, I know my brother's going to rise again one day, someday at the end, at the resurrection of the just. But no. He's dead. And how many days had he been dead? He's dead already 4 days, and by this time, he stinks. Yeah, but this time it's all over. Forget it. Worms crawling. You know, it's gone, done, finished. He's dead 4 days. That's the end. He can never live again. That's the end of it. And Jesus said, no, you're missing the whole point. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I'm not talking about someday when Jesus comes and the graves open and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like right now, where's your brother? Where's the sepulcher? And they all went out there crying their eyes out. And then Jesus had them roll away the stone. And you know the story well. Lazarus, come on, get out of there, Lazarus. What are you doing in there? Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound hand and foot came hopping out from that tomb. Loose him and let him go. Well, filled with resurrection life. Dead anymore? No. Could Jesus raise the dead? Well, physically he did. But, you know, spiritually he does it all the time. All the time. And you and I, maybe you, and maybe me too, in part, somewhere along the line, we were dying or half dead or three quarters or one foot in the grave and the other on the banana peel. But Jesus resurrected us. He brought me out, thank God, not just when I was dead in trespass and sin, but since then, oh, revive me. Revive me. And as I said the other night after Sister Hoflander finished her talk given to us about Make Me, that chapter is about the Word of God. That chapter is about the Bible, the testimonies of God. And that is what revives us. He sends His Word, and His Word brings to life that which is dead. And that's what brought Lazarus back to life. It wasn't hocus pocus. It was the word of Jesus that spoke right into the dead corpse lying there in that tomb. Lazarus, come forth. Well, you try that sometime. You're going to get nowhere. They'll stay there dead, dead, and more dead. And never get anybody. When Jesus calls to resurrection into life, when Jesus calls that which is dead, is there a part of your soul tonight, a part of you spiritually that's dead? Or dying, or on the way towards that, you know, revive us again. Maybe your love isn't what it ought to be. And maybe you've left that first love. Maybe when you first accepted Jesus and you felt that love of God just fill your soul, you could turn the world upside down. Nobody could quiet you down. Nobody could shut your mouth. You are on fire for God. But then you got hooked up with the church people too much. And they, you know, made you calm down a little bit. You're a little bit over the top with this. Calm down. Be like us. You don't have to be so fanatical about it. You don't have to do that. Yes, you do. Why, Jesus wants to keep that first love burning in your soul. Jesus wants to keep that fire of His divine love. He wants to resurrect that. That fire out there the other night that we had, Thursday night? It was going out, Sean, right? Sean said to me, I got it right this time. Forget about Brother Tom. He does nothing. And we learned that last night. Now, if you weren't here last night, you know what I'm talking about. And don't go out of here thinking Brother Tom does nothing, please. But Sean came over to me and he said, now, what do you think? The fire's going out. You think we should put some logs on the fire to kind of resurrect that thing? I don't think he said resurrect. But I said, yeah, throw a couple logs on there. Nobody wants to go home yet. We're enjoying the s'mores too much. And so we put a few more logs on there, and the fire came back. Oh, you know, every once in a while, is it true? Am I right? Or am I, you know, is this not right? The Holy Spirit, the Lord needs to put a few more logs on the fire. That's what He does sometimes at Pilgrim Camp. But, you know, He doesn't only do it at Pilgrim Camp. He wants to do that right where you are at home. He wants to do that every day. Put another log on the fire. That's probably a good song. We should maybe put it in the new Pilgrim Camp. Put another log on the fire. I don't know if that we'd have to get the context right, but that's a good song. Lord, put another log on the fire. Lord, revive us again. Hey, before we sing the last verse, could you open with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel 37? Because I want to just show you that it's there. In John 11, you knew that story, so we didn't have to read it or open our Bibles, but I think I got the right chapter. And if I don't, I'm not far off. And so, let's see. Ezekiel chapter 37. Yeah, that's the one. I guess everybody likes the story. It's just an interesting story. It's a vision that Ezekiel saw. This really wasn't happening. And I don't think it's a literal story, but it's figurative. It's a vision that the Lord showed to Ezekiel. And put yourself in the story. It's better when you put yourself in there. It's even fun when you put yourself in the story. It says in the first verse, the hand of the Lord was upon me, that is Ezekiel, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Now that's a nice place not to be. in a valley full of bones. I've never been in one. I've seen bones, and you know, you have too, but I've never been in a valley filled with them. But it goes on, second verse, he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Now, just put yourself there. It says that the Lord led me back and forth. Why did the Lord lead Ezekiel? I'm asking you. I want an answer. Why did the Lord lead Ezekiel? Why does it say that in the Bible? He led me back and forth among them. Why? Why did the Lord do that? Anybody have an idea? He leads me out into a valley of dry bones, very dry. That means they were dead, real dead. And he leads me to walk back and forth. I'm walking past the tarsals and metatarsals and the ribs and the cranium and the scapulas and all the rest of the bones, the patellas and the tibias and the fibulas and the ulnas and the radius. And I'm walking in and I'm seeing, oh, look at all these bones. Why? Why is Ezekiel being led back and forth throughout this valley of very dry bones? Why?
To impress him.
I think so. Sister Marie, you know, we can have a meeting all by ourselves, but they're listening. We found that out. How many verses are in Psalm 119? See, they do listen. They listen to you. I don't know about, I dare not ask, yada, yada, yada. What is yada? Never mind. We'll not go there. But why? I think Sister Marie's right. Maybe you didn't hear what she said, so give your answer. Why? Did you hear what she said? To who what? What do you think, Julia?
Just to make sure that he knew that they were.
Yeah, I think so. So you didn't hear what Sister Hofflander said, did you? She said to impress him. Just to make sure that he knew that these bones were very, very dead. There wasn't an inkling in them of life. And that's depressing, isn't it?
Yes.
It's kind of depressing to walk through a church, a group of people that are dead. Spiritually, very dead, dry bones all over the place. Well, Ezekiel, he's looking around and he's seeing these dry bones lying all over the place in this valley. And then the Lord asks him a question. The Lord says, Ezekiel, son of man. Yes, Lord. Can these bones live? What would you say? I believe that Ezekiel would have been a good politician. An excellent politician. You know why? Because politicians are notorious for not giving straight answers. They're known for giving answers that, you know, they don't want to be committed to anything. So they give an answer where, listen to Ezekiel's answer. Here's the political answer. He led me forth, back and forth. Can these bones live? He asked me. And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. That's the end. That's a good answer. Lord, you're not going to catch me in this thing. I'm not going to say yes, because that would be so crazy to think that these bones could ever live again. But after all, you are the sovereign Lord, and you know everything. So, you know, you might be able to pull. I don't know, Lord. I'm not even going to go there. You know, Lord, so why are you asking me? You know. Well, the Lord did know, but the Lord wanted Ezekiel to come to some kind of conclusion. These bones represent the house of Israel. These bones, who was the house of Israel? Well, I don't want names in particular. They were the people of God's people. God's people. And what were God's people, according to Ezekiel chapter 37? What were they?
Dead.
Very dead. Dry. And the Lord says, Can my people... Can the house of Israel, what do you think, Ezekiel? Can these bones live? Oh, Lord, thou knowest. And then in verse 4, the Lord said, okay, Ezekiel, here we go. This is what I want you to do. What I want you to do is prophesy to these bones. What I want you to do, Ezekiel, is speak to the bones the word of... Right? The word of who?
The Lord.
Yeah, the word of the Lord. Speak to these, because there's power in, do I have to go back to Sister Clark's song? There's power in the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord revives.
Amen.
The word of the Lord is life-giving. And when the word of the Lord, not Brother Ernie's word, not Sister Hofflander's word, not your word, not whoever the big ones are, not their word, when we hear the word of the Lord, and you can hear the word of the Lord when you read this book sitting in your room someplace, driving in your car, wherever it might be, you don't have to be in church, you can hear the word of the Lord. Oh, give me an ear to hear, give me a heart that will listen. Ezekiel, this is how the bones that are very dry lying in the valley come back to life. This is how it happens. It happens as you speak to these bones the word of the Lord. So what I'd like you to do, Ezekiel, is I'd like you to go walking in that valley, and I'd like you to preach to the bones. Lord, what? I said, Ezekiel, I'd like you to preach to the bones, the very dry, dead bones that are laying there in the valley. I'd like you to preach. Okay. Good morning. Good morning, bones. Nice to see you this morning. I mean, that's what he does. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is Ezekiel's preaching. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Don't miss that. Don't miss what it was that it takes to make the bones that are dead and dry live. It takes the word of the Lord to revive us.
Yes.
Hear the word of the Lord, Ezekiel says to the dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to preach it. But you've got to hear it. Now, how in the world can dry bones that are dead hear the word of the Lord? It must be a miracle. Just like how can a dead Lazarus hear the voice of the Lord? It's a miracle. The word of God spoken is a miracle. And when it gets into our hearts, and it gets into our minds and our souls and our lives, it revives the dead places in us. It brings back to life the corpse. And here as Ezekiel preaches the word of the Lord, this is what the Lord says. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life, you dead dry bones. I'm going to attach tendons to you and make your flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath into you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Now, we don't have a lot of time tonight, and that's probably good for you all. But this is the word of the Lord, Ezekiel 37. Get a hold of it. I wish we could stop and just think about what we just read. The word of the Lord brings life to you. You've got to hear it, and when you hear it, you will come to life. It doesn't say you hear the word of the Lord, and just maybe you're going to come to life. If you hear the word of the Lord, dry bones, there's a chance that it might do something for you. If you hear the word of the Lord, you will live. Period. End of the story. If the entrance of God's word gets into your heart, there is life. It's a matter of getting it in. It's a matter of having an ear to hear what the Spirit says. And that's why in Revelation is a preponderance of, if any man has an ear to hear. If any man has an ear to hear. Well, everybody has an ear to hear. No, everybody doesn't have an ear to hear. Not everybody can hear the word of the Lord. Not everybody cares to hear the word of the Lord. Some people's ears are deaf spiritually. Some people's ears are dull spiritually. And the Bible addresses that. Circumcise your ears. Cut away the junk that's around them. You'll have to put Q-tips. You're not supposed to put anything in your ear that is smaller than your elbow. Is that right? I still use Q-tips. Stick the thing in your ear. You got to clean out your ears once in a while. And the Holy Spirit has to clean out your ears once in a while. And you call that revival. He's got to cut away the stuff, the callus, the hardness, the dearth that's there. And that's called revival. And if the word of the Lord by a miracle can get through the deafness in my ears and get the word of God into my heart, there will be life. Guaranteed. Well, Ezekiel, he's preaching this to the bones. And as I prophesied, and as I was speaking to them, as I was commanded, there was a noise. There was a noise. Thunder, lightning. No, a rattling sound. The bones were coming together. I would have been out of there. You're not going to catch me in a graveyard with a bunch of dry bones when it starts rattling. Feet don't fail me now. Joseph ran, I'm running. There's a time, flee youthful lust. That's a youthful lust if I ever heard one or something. I'll find a scripture verse to make me know that I should get out of there quick. But Ezekiel didn't. He kept right on. There came a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Amazing. Well, it is amazing. But if you didn't know already, let me clue you in on something. The Word of God is amazing. The Word of God that brings life is amazing. This book that you're holding in your hand, I don't know what pieces of literature you like to read, but this book is the only book that God breathed. And when God breathed, do you remember what happened when he breathed back in Genesis 1? When God breathed in Genesis 1, the worlds were created. When God breathed in Genesis 1, Brent Lake came into being. And first, second, and third, brother, I don't know, literally, you know. But God spoke, and it was done. God breathed, and he just threw out the stars, and there they were, humongous things out there. That came at the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. God's word is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces and divides and gets in between joint and marrow, soul and spirit, discerns the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And a good prayer is, Lord, revive me. Revive me. Let the word of God shake me up on the inside and bring life to me. And that's what God sends his word in part to do, to revive us. And so the bones are starting to come together. I mean, how did they know where to go? Here's the skull just rolling over. And it didn't roll over to the ankle, but it rolled over to where it's supposed to those little bones at the top of the neck. And then they just all started to come together. All these bones started to come together. Amazing. All the dead, dry bones, all the dead, dry people, all the dead, dry house of Israel starts to come together as one. Doesn't he want to make us one? How many bodies are there in Christ? Oh, I belong to the... Well, I don't know what you belong to, but in the Bible, Jesus prayed in John 17, I'm looking for one body. I'm not looking for a whole bunch of different bodies somewhere else. Oh, but I belong to this church, and we're not... I go to a sunrise service meeting. There was a pastor of one of the churches, and he heard that I was Pentecostal. And then I'm not coming because he happened to be a Baptist. No, I can't sit on the platform with the Pentecostal like I would bite or something. I don't bite. I'm not going to do anything to make you feel bad. No, I can't sit on the... And the other Baptist minister looked at me and he said, I wonder what brother so-and-so is going to do in heaven. And then he said, if he makes it... I wonder what some of us are going to do in heaven when you see a Baptist there. Baptists go to heaven? They're not part of the same body that we are they? No Methodists in heaven. Only Pentecostals in heaven. They're the only part of the body. Oh, I thank God that there are other parts of the body, don't you? I'm glad there are more than just us. Because if it were only us, boy, that'd be a pretty pathetic body, wouldn't it? But thank God there are others. There are others. They may not believe everything that you do, or they may not believe the same way. I have a Nazarene friend that's a pastor. He said to me, the difference between me and you is you raise two hands, we raise one. I said, okay, I'll work on you. We'll get the other one up one of these days, but that's okay. I don't care how many hands you raise. I don't care. I don't even care if they leave. After they leave me, they do one of these. I can do what you got to do. But if you love Jesus and you're born again, you belong to the body that I belong to. All one body we. Not a bunch of schismed bodies. And they all came together as one by the word of the Lord. And bone upon bone. And then sinew came and flesh came. And everything came and this whole body is there. And yet there's a problem here. There was no breath in them. I don't think the Lord wants a dead body, does he? He's got enough of them already. Doesn't need another one. He's got too many corpses he's got to work with. It's a miracle, is it not, that the body came together? But we got to do more for the body than just getting it together. What do we need in the body? We need resurrection life. The thing's getting there. We're on the right road, but we need more than that. We need life. Revive us again. And so the Lord said to Ezekiel, and now, Ezekiel, you're not finished with your sermon yet. Prophesy now to the breath, to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe into these slain, that they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cast off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I'm going to open your graves and I'm going to bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I'll settle you in your own land. And you will know that I am the Lord that have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. Now, this prophecy obviously has first application to Israel and to the house of Israel. But I think it's broadened from beyond that. And I think it reaches down to the church and to you and to me. And the Lord wants to revive us so that everybody else will know we've come out of our graves. We're not like Lazarus lying in there. We're not like the house of Israel, dead, 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 twice dead, bleached in the valley long enough. But the old dry bones, if Brother Bowes was here, we'd get him to sing right now. There's enough time. He could. All ye all dry bones. Am I close, Brother John? Hear the word of the Lord. Stand upon your feet. And his goodness repeat. Lay aside your dry profession. Get a Holy Ghost possession. You've been bleaching in the valley long enough. And maybe the Holy Spirit would like to say to you by the word of the Lord tonight, you've been bleaching in the valley long enough. Revive me, Lord. Revive me by your word. Revive me by your spirit. Revive us again. Fill our hearts with your love. Let each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Oh, dear Lord, do we need reviving? I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I seem to always think that I do. Lord, I need a fresh touch. I need a new outpouring. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I want you to revive me, spirit, soul, and body. And you know, I can be, and so can we all. And it's not just for that one bone lying over there. Well, that one bone lying over there wouldn't do very well all by itself. But he puts us together with others. And that's why, dear brothers and sisters, we need to have faith for one another. We need to pray. We need to pray for every staff member at camp. That God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. That God will stand them up upon their feet. And that God will send them wherever he's sending them back to as an army of God's people commissioned by the commander in chief going into all this world to stand and having done all to stand. And staff, you need to pray for every guest. You need to pray that God will revive us because we alone can't do it and you alone can't do it, but he puts us into his body. And thank God he wants life to flow to every member of that body, including you, and including me. So, Lord, revive us. Would you like to stand with me, and could we sing that last verse? Sorry for the long interlude, but number 214, that last stanza. Could we sing it?
Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
last verse one more, or the last chorus one more time. I was in a meeting in Ridgewood years ago. It was a Saturday morning workshop on how to get along with your husband. It was about marriage or your wife. And Brother Bob Collis, some of you know Brother Bob Collis, remember him. And he was speaking to us. And we got to the end of this whole thing. It was a two-day kind of a thing where he was talking to us. And time had run out just like it's running out right now. And he stood to his feet at the close of the meeting and he said, "You know what? The Holy Spirit can do a work in a very short time. The Holy Spirit can take the words that were spoken and can make them alive and real to you and change you and enable you to be what He wants you to be in your home, to your spouse, to your family, to your children. He can do a very quick work in a very short time." And you know what happened that meeting? God did a very quick work in a very short time and poured out His Spirit in the last couple minutes of that meeting. And we all went home, I believe, refreshed and changed and strengthened by His Spirit inwardly to take the Word of God and to implement it and to do it. Now, I believe that God is able to, yet in this meeting, do a very great work in a very short time. As I open my heart to Him, it doesn't take Him long to revive me. And I pray that He'll do that for me and for you and for all of us in about the next 2 minutes or five and or whatever the Lord wants. But Lord, revive me. Could we sing that chorus? Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Revive us, O Lord. Oh, lift us out of the grave. Lift us, O Lord. Again. Amen. Oh, do it, Lord. Revive, oh Lord, Your work. Revive Your work in the midst of the years. Revive our spirit, our souls, and our bodies. Revive Your church, oh Lord. Revive every one of us in this meeting. Oh, let life flow into us, we pray. Resurrection life, the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, revive us, we pray. Fill our hearts with Your love. Pour it, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revive us. Revive us, oh Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thine the glory. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory, O Lord. Hallelujah. Quicken, O Lord. Quicken us, O Lord. Strengthen us by Your mighty power. Renew Your work, O God. Oh, restore, O Lord, in us. Hallelujah. 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 Renew, O Lord. Revive, O Lord. We pray for a fresh outpouring in every one of our hearts and in every one of our lives. For Jesus' sake, we pray it, Lord. And we thank You for it. We thank You for it, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, let that anointing of Your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, revive every part of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank You, dear Lord, that we have been begotten again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us who are being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And Lord, to that end, revive us. Oh, Lord, revive us. Every heart, every life here, young and old, revive Your church, oh Lord. Revive our churches at home, Lord. Revive the kids down in the village in Natick and Nonantum. Revive the cottage. Revive us again, oh Lord. Fill each heart with Your love. And we pray, Lord, tomorrow as we gather and remember the resurrection day, the day that You raised from the dead, the day that You came back to life, and the day that You came to give life to Your people and to Your church. Lord, may we gather together to receive life fresh and new, poured out by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to every one of our hearts, dear Jesus. Oh, we thank you, dear Lord, that you are faithful. You are able. And Lord, we expect tonight through the evening as we go and enjoy the rest of this evening together. Lord, just bless our time. And dear Lord, may your presence be with us. And may we walk, oh Lord, in the light of the glory of God and live in that place where you can flow into our hearts and souls and spirits. We ask it in your precious name. Amen.